back to another edition of the Pegcast. I'm your host, Michael Pagani, joined alongside Hamilton Bulldogs forward, Noah Vandenbrink. Noah, welcome to the Pegcast. Thank you again for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
How have you been doing recently?
Well, I've been fighting the injury bug a bit this year. I had a little bit of a setback with my AC joint in my shoulder, and now I'm battling some groin stuff. So I've kind of been on and off. A lot of weeks missed, but we're getting there. Starting to skate again and everything, so all that good stuff. But even when not really playing, it's still a good time. So having fun being at the rink and whatnot, and living this new lifestyle. So,
do you ever get nervous about those injury setbacks?
Yeah, so it can be concerning at times. Like, obviously, you're not sure how you're gonna feel afterwards when you recover, and what it's gonna be like, and what the process really is, especially when it's weeks at a time, which has been what I've kind of had to deal with. But I mean, you basically just kind of got to trust the process and do the stuff you need to do and get it done, so you can feel your best and be healthy in the long run. Better now than in March when it gets down to the nitty-gritty there. So obviously it's concerning to a point, but I mean, we have a great medical staff and great people looking after us. They know what they're talking about, so that's a big plus for me, and they've been really helpful and really considerate with all of it. So feeling better, feeling good. Once you get back into it full tilt, then everything will be kind of even keel again for me, and I'll just be back to where I was, hopefully.
Yeah, because all you want to do is just get out there as soon as possible, right?
Yeah, that's really all it is. Just miss playing and miss skating with the guys and all that good stuff. So,
but at least there must be some camaraderie around the team, right?
Yeah, we have a great group for sure. And obviously, you don't skate for a while. Some of the guys give you a hard time about it. Make sure to let you know to get out there. But regardless, we have a really good group with a good mix of age guys, and it's a lot of fun. So it's hard to miss out on some of the things that you miss out on, but there's nothing really you can do about it, and just kind of show up and enjoy your time there and appreciate the situation, and just hope that it all comes back to normal, back down to earth, because you can get a little distracted.
Sorry about that.
You're good. No.
I just wanted to ask, like, who was your biggest influence to get into hockey?
Well, I was kind of thrown into it. My dad's a huge, huge hockey guy, huge fan. He loves the game. He watches. He's never not on the couch watching a game. So he just kind of got me into it right away. And, I mean, your typical growing-up story, you just fall in love with the game. It happens. Obviously, along the road, there was a lot of people that had an impact on me, but to get it started for sure, it was just kind of right there. And then it was just something that I just adapted to right away, and I just loved to do, and it just kind of became a part of me and who I am. So that's the beauty of the game.
Was there a player growing up who you wanted to model your game after?
I don't necessarily know. This could be a controversial opinion, but I am a huge Bruins fan, always have been. Obviously, you got your typical Bergerons and whatnot from my kind of era. I don't really have a model per se. I mean, I kind of love the game in itself. Every player is unique in their own way, and I think that's the cool part about hockey, is there's not one guy that is the same as anyone else. And really, I just kind of try to take pieces from other guys and use them to the best I can.
Well, it's good that you were, you know, that you grew up a Bruins fan, because, you know, there's been so much heartbreak with Leaf fans, right? So you never had to endure it. Every April, you get to, you know, enjoy the happiness there.
Yeah, a little bonus hockey every year. I've been pretty lucky in that regard.
Yeah, I guess, you know, you grew up in just outside of London. How many of your nights were spent at the Bud?
Actually, a handful, and we're on our way there tonight, which is kind of ironic. But yeah, like, huge Knights fan growing up, me and my dad used to love going to games. I used to love going to them. What an atmosphere there, especially as a young kid. That's a big contributor to loving the game and how I kind of got to where I am, and seeing the junior hockey, all the energy in that barn. But yeah, like we went there quite a bit. It was I'm not probably 10, 15 minutes from the rink, so no issues there. And my dad loved to go and I loved to go. So it was like, why not? Nothing better to do. Let's get out there. So
have you had a second to realize that, you know, as a little kid, like you mentioned, spending all your nights at the Budweiser Gardens there, but now you're in the OHL and you're here legit playing in the OHL. Like, have you had a second to reflect on that?
It is crazy to me. And it's honestly a huge shock to you once you get here and you kind of just sit and you're like, there's times where you're sitting there and the crowd's loud and you're sitting there listening to them cheer, and you're like, well, this was me so many years ago sitting and watching, right, when I was a kid. Especially for me to grow up cheering for a team like London and being involved in their organization. I always loved the Knights, and then being able to play against them, it's like, it's the weirdest feeling, but it's exciting, and still lots of games against them to come, hopefully. So
is it a bit of a homecoming when you do play the Knights?
Yeah, like for me, I haven't played in Bud Gardens yet. We played the Knights in Hamilton. I got my first career point against them, so that was pretty cool for me. I was pretty excited. But now it's kind of a weird feeling. I got buddies on that team. It's like everyone kind of, you start to know each other, and it's like I start to know all these guys on other teams, and especially them. It's like these are guys that I played against growing up, and now they're on the London Knights. It's like it's a crazy thing, but overall it's such a gift to be in this league and know all these guys.
Well, speaking of, I guess, having teammates or having former teammates now, let's talk about that Ryan Humphrey and Ryan Winterton trade with the Knights. What's the mood in the locker room right now after that trade?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we do have a job to do, and that's the way hockey goes. I mean, guys coming in and out, but a big hole in our room for a lot of guys, especially a lot of the older guys, with us winning a championship last year. And those are two guys that are just huge locker room characters. Everyone loves them, and you start to really appreciate them for everything they do. And then once they're gone, you start to realize how much of a presence they really had. And I mean, everyone, it's upsetting, but at the end of the day, we're all happy for them. They're in a good spot and a good team. They have a chance to make another run at it and really show their stuff over there and in a good organization. And for the rest of us, we just kind of got to keep doing our job, and hopefully they keep doing theirs, because we'll all be watching, I'm sure. And like I said, we're there tonight. We get to see them in the green and gold. So it'll be a little weird and emotional for a lot of the guys out there, but it'll be a lot of fun.
Is there a player on the team currently who you kind of look up to as a mentor?
It's hard not to look up to a lot of guys, especially with, like I said, the championship they won last year. What's really good for me is I actually get the chance to billet with Logan Morrison. So
that's massive.
So yeah, it's pretty cool to be around him every day. He's such a character, and he's such a good guy. Everyone obviously loves him. He's our captain for a reason. It's hard not to look up to a guy like that when you spend so much time with him and you see him every day at your house. It's quite the feeling, especially for me, who had watched the league and seen him play before I was even introduced to the league. So it's a good feeling, and he's definitely a guy that I know everyone looks up to, and it's hard not to. So him for sure, and being around him has just been special for me.
Did the players have any input in the captaincy process?
I'm not 100% really sure. Like I think it was honestly just a set thing. Everyone knew it was going to happen. Last year, he was such a presence, such a guy that everyone could rely on, and and be comfortable with. And obviously we had a great captain in Cammer, CK. He was great, but Logan was right there behind him, next in line. There's a lot of people that think that they even could have shared it and split the job, but at the end of the day, it's like everyone knew Logan's time was going to come, and he earned it 100%. So there wasn't really any other option to say, not to say anything bad about any of the other guys, but everyone just knew that this is the guy that we want to go to battle for. So
there was just that sense in the locker room, right? That like, okay, you know, CK's time's up and next in line is Logan, right?
Yeah, he was just everyone kind of knew that he was going to be, he wanted to come back, and I knew he went to camp, so there was some speculation on whether or not he was going to sign and stuff like that, but once he came back, everyone knew that that was the way it was going to be, and not one person would object to that, and I think everyone can stand by that at this point too. He's been so good. So
you must be happy he came back, because you have him as a billet brother.
Yeah, I mean, it was actually a crazy house for a bit. There's a weird story. I didn't really have a billet until like the night before camp. It was a mess. And Sherry, who we billet with, our billet mom, she was in North Bay with her son at this hockey camp. And it was like, so the first day we spent by ourselves, and we actually had Diaco too. So it was the three of us. And it was just kind of I don't know. It was a mess. And then all of a sudden it was a little chaotic having three of us there. But we had a lot of fun with it. We made the best out of it. And those two are really close, so they obviously were enjoying it.
Well, let's talk about your career here. You know, you played with the Elgin Middlesex Chiefs through the minor leagues. How did they help with your development?
Yeah, they were great. I mean, I grew up in a small town. We barely had tryouts for our team all the way up until like Pee Wee, but we always had a great coach. And the coach from Belmont actually came with me, Jason Clark. He was huge for my development. He was my coach for 7-8 years in a row. And he was great. He came into the Chiefs and we ended up winning the Alliance the first year. But I think a huge part of it as well was having such great teammates. Obviously, four or five of my teammates now have all played games in the OHL. And it's pretty crazy that half our team is playing junior hockey right now and just kind of following their path. And I think that was a big part of it. We always had guys who wanted to get to the next level, and that just challenged each other in practice and things like that every day, just to help make each other better. And that was really big for me, but a great organization. And it was a lot of fun playing there. I love the spot.
One of the better things to come from that entire year was getting drafted to the OHL, taking in the fifth round. What do you remember from draft day?
Oh, I remember it was definitely a mess. Obviously, with not having the year that we were supposed to have due to COVID and everything, you feel like you were robbed a bit of showing your stuff in a way. So there was a lot of what ifs, and I just remember waiting and waiting and being on calls back and forth, trying to figure out what's going on. And it's a lot of stress, especially for a kid that I can say this for all the 05s in that year, kids that didn't really have a chance to really prove themselves in the way they think they can. And obviously that is a crazy scenario that not a lot of people have experienced, but just to hear my name called, I was thankful, and it's been such a blessing to be in such a great organization for me. So lucky to be able to start my OHL career with such a good team full of great leaders and great players, and start to learn from them right away. So at the end of the day, it all worked out, but during the process, it was obviously a little bit of a chaotic situation, but.
Who was the first player to reach out to you after the draft?
So my teammate now, Noah Nelson, who was also my teammate in Elgin, I got the call at probably 8 a.m. I think the draft started at 9. And one of the scouts from Hamilton called me and said, they were like, our next pick is in the fifth round. We're going to take you, and then we're going to take Nelson right after. We want you guys to come together. And I remember hearing that, and I was like, like excited. Like I was jumping out of my seat. Like to be able to have someone like that in your first year, and even this year, to just be comfortable with and know for all those years, it was great. And so I reached out to him, and he didn't really hear the same thing. So I was kind of a little bit of a shocker for him, but it was we talked for a bit, and then obviously I have so many great friends and family members that reached out, but right away that was kind of my first thought. I was like, I gotta see something. I gotta see how he's feeling. And yeah, he wasn't too sure, as sure as I was about it, but I guess I got the first phone call, so.
Well, it's good that, you know, the Bulldogs brought you two guys together, right, to grow that chemistry. Like you mentioned, you guys go all the way back to Elgin, and obviously there still is that chemistry there. But yeah, you know, that's a great story to hear that the Bulldogs, you know, want you guys to grow together in this organization.
Yeah, it's pretty surreal. Something that you only think of in dreams when you're a little kid. Me and one of my good friends going on the same OHL team. Like, it's just kind of like, wow, like this is happening. And he's been great. I've only got closer, and it's a great experience for us, especially being from the same area too. He's a London kid, so. We got a lot to kind of talk about and bond over. So it's been a good experience, and the organization's treated us both well, and we're both having fun. So
Last season, you played the majority of the year with the St. Mary's Lincolns, scoring 46 points in 46 games. What really motivated you that season?
I mean, I signed my contract out of camp in the end of October. That was the plan from camp, and it was like they wanted me to kind of show that I could be ready to play at the next level, and St. Mary's was willing to help me get to that goal, and they were so great about it. And for me, it was just about kind of proving myself that I'm ready to be a an impact in at the junior level, even at 16. And it was just, kind of go out and play my game, especially after not having a season. Like I said, it was a big character check for me, and in the end, I managed to do what I wanted to do and have a lot of fun in the process. It's a great spot to play. I loved it there. It was probably the most fun I ever had playing hockey. So, for that, it definitely helped me be comfortable with my own game and myself, and so many great teammates that helped me with that as well. So,
You even got a few games in with the Bulldogs that year. How important was it to get that first taste of what the OHL has to offer?
yeah, it was good because this year coming into camp, I kind of knew what was expected. I knew what the life was kind of like and how you're supposed to prepare yourself and things like that. And it's crazy what the jump really is. People underestimate it a little bit. But if you can do it, I mean, you can do it. It's the same game you've always played. So there's a part of you that just kind of needs to settle in and just go out there and play. But being able to get on the ice and see what it's like and be on, well, what I would consider the big stage when I was that age for sure, and when I was younger, and just kind of play your game and be an impact to a team and help them win. It's a crazy feeling.
When did you get the feeling that the Bulldogs team last year was going to win the OHL finals? Because I assume you were following along with them while playing at St. Mary's.
Yeah, and obviously I got a couple games in, so I was watching to see if people would get injured and stuff like that, and how people were doing, especially the kids that were my age and the younger kids. But I mean, once that Mason McTavish trade popped on my phone, it was like, okay, this is getting serious. Obviously they were a good team, but you get a guy like that, that it's that something's happening, something's coming. And obviously they started to win, and they just didn't lose, and it was like, these guys are going all the way. They're not going to lose. So it's pretty cool to
Sorry, go
watch.
ahead. I just wanted to say, like, it's crazy when we look back at the playoffs last year, like, they swept the entire first three rounds. Like you mentioned, they just didn't lose.
Yeah, they didn't. It's crazy. I watched a bunch of the games too in person, and they were just playing a different game out there. There wasn't a team that could figure them out. And then if you figure out the first line, then the second line gets you, and the figure out the second line, the third line gets you. It's that they had that ability with all those guys, and obviously they were coached well and they all played for each other. It was such a tight-knit group. That's what I do really remember a lot about them from being at practice and being in games, is they were a really close group of guys, and obviously you need that to kind of build a championship team. You need the chemistry in the room too. It's an important piece. So, but they had it all, and they took advantage of it and didn't skip a beat by any means. They just kept rolling.
Last year was just so special for Hamilton, whether it was winning the championship or for you, you even got to, play a couple games. What do you remember from your first OHL game?
Yeah, I want to say we were in Mississauga on the road. I had played preseason games in Hamilton, one or two of them, but my first regular season game was in Mississauga, I remember. And just the experience in itself and being out there in warm-ups and trying to hold on to a puck, it's your first couple stick handles, you're chopping at it a bit, but then you realize it's just hockey. And yeah, it's a real experience, and being able to get a taste of it, like you said, was huge for this year, obviously. And it really helped kind of build my confidence to say, like, hey, like I know that I can play in this league, I can be an effective player. Maybe it's not right now, but at some point, if I keep doing what I'm doing, then it's gonna come. So being able to get a sense of what's the word I'm looking for? A sense of accomplishment, and that you fit in, and you can be a part of something like this is crazy to think, especially from a young age. But I think we've reached that point, and I'm ready to kind of start building.
Now, this year is really weird because you guys have four Noahs on the team. How do you guys differentiate between all four?
Yeah, everyone's kind of got a nickname. I don't really, sometimes I forget some guys' first names, but we do have four Noahs, but everyone's got their own little nicknames. So we're all good. Everyone's kind of got their separate identity. There's Noah 1, Noah 2 by any means. So
This season, you played a bit with the Bulldogs, but more recently with the Kill TBs. Having already played in the GOJHL, how does that add to your confidence?
yeah, I mean, that was the whole point of me going back there, just to kind of be able to play big minutes and develop myself as into a player that can be in the top six and use my skill the right way. So it was a little bit more as a trial, but those guys have been really great too. It's become a home for me. Being able to go in there, confidence was sky high. I knew what I'd done in this league last year, I could double it and be just as good, if not much better. So yeah, since my first game, it's like you get a sense of it, and you realize you're kind of flying around, and you're just kind of taking over the game. And that's the best part about being there, is that you can just kind of be yourself and just play the way that you want to play and show your skills in ways that sometimes you can't when you're playing in the OHL and the minutes are less, and the guys are bigger and stronger and faster, et cetera. So you get a little bit of a confidence boost, and you get a chance to really get situational and just work on yourself as a player and become ready and more ready and build yourself into a position where you can jump to the next level.
How do you classify your game? Like, what type of player do you look at like yourself the most?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I've been like deemed different things by different people. Like when I was drafted, like I remember Steve Staios talking about how he liked that even though I wasn't a huge guy, that I played like a power forward and I used my body well and stuff like that. I was like, power forward, like, have you seen me?
Yeah, exactly. What the fuck are you talking about?
I have like, I'm like, no idea of what you're talking. Yeah, sure. Yeah, if you think that's good, then I'll be a power forward. But no, but I was like, growing up, I scored a lot of goals, but I could never really shoot it like some of those guys can, and that's not necessarily my game either. I'm not gonna beat a goalie from 40 feet out by any means, but I'd say that as my game kind of develops, I'm starting to turn more into a playmaker and a guy who can kind of get to the net and use my hands well in the low areas and around the net and be able to score that way and then make plays. That's kind of where I sit and use my speed well. Skating is one of my best qualities with my hockey sense, which combines for a lot of production offensively, and that's kind of where my game kind of lies. But I've really been hammering away at rounding myself as a player and introducing new things and being able to become an impact at every foot of the ice. So that's really where my game kind of sits. But yeah, definitely the offensive side is taking over the defensive by quite a bit.
Do you feel any added extra pressure when people put these labels on you?
No, I personally, I love it, but I think it's great to see how people see me, because that's just how I play all the time. And I don't really put a label on it. I'm just me. But I think it's funny. I think it's good, because if everyone sees me different, then I feel like that just proves that I'm a versatile guy and I can be a different player in different scenarios and be able to be put in different situations. So I think it's a compliment to me, but no pressure. But I think it's something to think about when I'm watching myself play on video and stuff. I'm like, I don't know what you see, but I get it. Sure.
How did you end up choosing number 12?
Well, I don't really know. Like, it was kind of just when I was younger, like, our team only had numbers like 1 to 20. And
what? It was that is like, ridiculous.
Yeah, well, we didn't have a whole lot of money. Like I said, we didn't really – we had like 16 kids try out every year, and we were a C division team. So it was a little bit of a mess, but – I don't really know. It just kind of happened, and I just kind of stuck with it. I didn't want to get rid of it, and it's just kind of the way it's been. Nothing really, no reason to change it. If it ain't broke, but
yeah, exactly. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Yeah, nothing really to change. I'm enjoying it. So
I just have two quick fire questions. What is your favorite vacation spot?
I don't really go anywhere, but I'd love to go somewhere in Europe. I wonder what that's like. I've never been, so.
I agree with you. Like, I've never been to Europe either. And I think that it would be really cool to go to, like, Italy. Because, like, I'm Italian, so I would love to see Italy.
Yeah, I don't know, like, anything specific. Like, maybe, like a Greece or, like, a France, like, stuff like that. Maybe that would be cool. I'm not sure, but
My mom always sends me these like Division II hockey Sweden clips, but the fans go insane. And she's like, yeah, we have to go to Sweden to catch a game. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that was like one of my buddies, his cousin plays Division III in Germany, and the crowd's going nuts. And I'm like, Division, like these guys have two jobs.
Yeah, I know.
Hockey isn't even their job, but they just love it over there. So that's a big part of it too. But a lot of beautiful spots over there.
What is your favorite TV show?
Oh, I don't know. It's I grind Family Guy when I'm bored, but I'm not really a TV show guy by any means. I was really into Shameless for a bit, front to back, but other than that, it's like I don't watch a whole lot of stuff, to be honest. I'm a little busy, but
oh yeah, 100%, 100%. Well, at least with like my like, I know that for me, I'm a big Outer Banks guy. I love that show.
Oh yeah,
Like, I would, the new season coming out next February or next month, actually. And like, I'm going to binge watch that. I'm super excited.
Yeah, I'll get through it in probably 2 days and then I'll be bored again. But yeah,
and you're just waiting for the next series to drop.
Yeah. And then it's like, you got to wait another year. It's like, oh, what am I doing? But
yeah, that's just how fast we grind it.
You watch it in 10 hours and it takes 10 months to make a new season.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you have to extend your watching, you know? You can't get it through so quickly.
The problem is that you watch one episode and you're like, oh, shit, like, I gotta know what happens now.
Yeah, it's always the goddamn cliffhangers. That's how they get you. That's how they get you. Yep. And then you're stuck there next 10 hours and it's like, all right, season's over. What now?
And I'm one of those guys where if I watch something, if I watch a full season of a show, I won't just be like, okay, I'm going to watch this show again. Like, I won't, like, the first two seasons, I'm not going to watch them again before I watch the third one. I just can't do it. I get so bored.
Well, see, I'm different because I also binge watch Stranger Things. So I watch that front to back every time I can, every chance I get. It's just such a good series.
I never got into it. I never did. I've never seen it. So,
in your short time in the OHL, what has been your favorite arena to travel to?
I don't know. I mean, like I said, we're going to the Bud tonight. Obviously, a little history there for me, but yeah. I really liked Barry at the Saddle Dome. It's a good setup. I really like it there. They get decent fans. Kingston's got a really nice arena too. I like that spot. I'm trying to really think. I mean, Ottawa's got a sick arena too. I really like their kind of set up there with the everything going around outside as well.
Yeah, it is a nice setup there.
Yeah, there's a lot of good spots. It's hard to kind of pick one because they're all so different.
Unique.
Yeah, it's crazy, but yeah, those three are pretty good. I like kind of the setups of the
are there any are there any arenas that you just dislike traveling to?
Well, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the old North Bay Sudbury trip, but
yeah, I don't think anyone is. That's such a long drive.
Arena wise, I mean, Peterborough's arena is I don't know if I could ever play there. Like, I'm not a fan. The boards are like square in the corners, and they got seats going up to the roof on one side of the building. It's really weird, but I don't know. It's not a bad rink. It's just, there's something about it makes me uncomfy.
As we're closing off this interview here, do you have any advice for younger hockey players?
Yeah, I mean, I got one thing, and it's a lot of it doesn't really matter where you kind of come from. For me, I grew up in a town that was considered a village, and we just played hockey and we had a bunch of good hockey players and we played for fun. And if you love the game enough, it'll just kind of come. And that's what happened for me. So I think sometimes you get focused on all those guys who are moving to Toronto to play in the G and get seen and all this, but just don't jump to any conclusions. Just have fun with it and just keep loving the game and working hard. And like, people will start to see and put yourself in a position to succeed, and you probably will. I can see why you'd have to move to a big city and a big team for that. And sometimes that isn't the best thing for you, and just kind of see it out, have fun with your friends. And when you know you're ready to move on, just move on and just keep plugging away. Like, there's no real end to hockey. You can always be playing hockey until you're in a wheelchair, and it doesn't really matter. But yeah, just kind of doesn't really matter where you're from. Just kind of play the game and the game will love you back.
I'd like to thank again Noah Vandenbrink for joining me on today's podcast. Thank you again, Noah.
Yeah, thank you.